It's the 20th of February, and we are going to continue with Chapter 5, Stocks. There's a lot of studying to do, folks. Every day, please, every day, work on this. Listen, make your notes, whatever. Here we have our portfolio, and the one stock that we didn't want is the one that's done the best. And we're only down 2.5%, which is not too bad, folks, considering all the volatility. Only down 2.5%. But what's our biggest loser? The one that's most risky, the 3D printing, which, you know, someday is going to be huge. We don't know which companies are going to do well, but we do know one or two companies are going to explode. Questions, thoughts? Want to sell anything?
Yep.
You do? All of it? And buy Facebook? Too late. Where's Vanessa? We should have bought Facebook 3 or 4 weeks ago. She's not here today, so we don't. Okay. Now, so we have a lot to do today, but first we need a good joke. Anybody got a good joke? We missed the joke on Tuesday. I can't believe it.
Did you hear the one about the alligator?
I heard about the alligator. The one that walked into the bar? And what did you hear? What did you hear about? It's not. You can't create a hostile environment. Okay, let's hear. I can't hear. Hang on a minute. Yeah. What did the nosy pepper do? Jalapeno face.
Yes, it was jalapeno business.
It was all a pain in your face. Yeah, it was all a pain in your face. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Okay, fine. All right, now, on Tuesday, we discussed these places that the stocks are sold, the exchanges and the OTC markets. And I want you to learn this, folks. I want you to learn this, the bid versus the ask versus the bid price, and the role of the market makers, the role of the dealers, as they're called, versus a broker who makes a transaction. Remember that, right? And you're all studying that, right? Nod your head, yes. Make me feel good. Okay, good, good, good. Now, we didn't have a chance to take a look at what many of you have already seen. And that is, whenever you go down to San Ysidro or down into TJ any border where there's two currencies, you'll see these Casas de Cambio. And these are all in San Ysidro. Can we, Gerardo, do you mind? I apologize. We're now yelling and screaming and saying, we've got to fix this. This is really ridiculous, having to jump up and down all the time. But you look at this price on the screen for a stock, and you think that's the price, but it's not. It's just the best price that is being reported, and it's 15 minutes in the past unless you pay extra. You don't get the current price. And so when you go down, this is San Ysidro. When you go down to San Ysidro, you see all these Casas de Cambio, and some of them are owned by the same company. This Baja Mex, I think they own about 12 of them down there. And what they're doing is they're showing two prices. Huh? Well, if you want pesos, right? If you want pesos, this company on this day will give you 13.006 pesos for every dollar you give them. All right? But what happens if you want to convert pesos to dollars? You have to pay 13.08 pesos to get a dollar. You understand? You see that? So you can sit there and exchange dollars to pesos all day long and eventually have no money because you're paying a spread. You're paying the difference. That's what it's called. It's called the spread. You need to know that. And you'll notice that at any one time, there are dozens of prices. Companies are competing for your business and trying to make a buck at the same time. These people are dealers. They are market makers. They used to be called in the New York Stock Exchange specialists, and now they're calling them market makers. You will see every once in a while, no comisión, no commission. Not on this one. But let's go to the next one. Here, this one. No comisión. We don't make any money off a commission. We're not brokers. This place is pretty good. They usually have pretty good prices. And are they really making that much money off of the difference? Keep coming, Andrea. Keep coming. Are they really making that much money? Most of them, no. No, they're not. Where are they making most of their money? often charging people 1-3% or more to cash their checks. That's where they're making most of the money, because in areas such as San Ysidro, casas make money like that. They act like a bank. Okay, now finally we're in TJ, and notice all of a sudden the prices are very different, aren't they? Not that much different, but you see the difference? Let's go back a couple. Boom, boom. This was just last week. Just last week, I went down and took some pictures. See, 13.08, 13.006. And then we go down here, and now 12.709, 12.89. So, conceivably, you could buy pesos at 13.080 in San Ysidro, cross over the border, and then swap them for dollars at 12.890 and make 50 cents. But then you got to walk back across the border, and that takes you 2 hours, unless you got a sentry pass. You have sentry. I have sentry. Who has sentry? Daniel has it. All right. Get it, folks. It's worth more than gold. Sentry. Okay, now, but do you see that the spread here is small? These are on Avenida Constitucion, right, by 2nd Avenue, the nice part of the down Centro. In terms of business, but what happens when you get into the lower? Oh, this still, now this one you've seen over and over again. This is the, now that they moved the pedestrian to the other side, you don't see it as much. But this is the one that's right on, I think it's called Plaza America. As soon as you used to cross over by foot, you saw the McDonald's on the right hand side. This is on the left hand side, and this one's been around forever. And these people are sharks. The spread is not that different, is it? No. But what do you see here? Cobramos comisión. They are acting not only as dealers, but they're also acting as brokers. So they're charging you a commission as well as making money off the markup, markdown. And some of your brokerage firms will do this. Well, it depends, right? For them, it's good business. For you, is it that good a business? No, but some of your brokers will do this. And typically, you will get a little confirmation that says, you know, one of our market makers acted as a principal in this transaction. And so they will charge you their normal commission, and the broker, the dealer, will have made money off of this markup, markdown. But I know our company does this, but I've seen it. We give the customers the best price, and then the dealer, the market maker, is just part of the same firm, and they're just doing what they need to do. Now, notice the same company will also buy and sell euros. Look at that spread. You give them a euro, they'll give you 12 pesos. You want to buy a euro, they'll charge you 18 pesos. You see what's going on here? You see the difference between the spread, how huge it's gotten?
But is that like value-wise, like euros-wise?
Well, euro's about $1.30, right? Euro's about $1.30.
How about what? $1?
To the dollar, yeah. Oh, no, that's, yeah. You have to, 1 euro is worth $0.73, so you have to come up. Isn't that what I said? Okay, so you have to come up with $1.30 to get 1 euro. You understand? Yeah. So you're right. $1 is worth 0.7 euros, so you have to come up with $1.30, whatever it is, $1.30 to get a euro from a dollar. So this spread is huge. You see what's going on?
Yeah.
Nod your head yes or go, no, I don't understand. Maybe this one will look better. Look at that one. Now this is not the, just go a couple blocks away. This is real close to the cathedral on Articulo 1, 2, 3, 1st Street. And this is the red light district, literally. Because I saw these women around, standing around, and I thought they were just giving Spanish lessons, right, to these American men's in their shorts, and I was really impressed. Here they were helping, and they wanted a lot of money for Spanish lessons. They wanted to take it for the room. And then somebody told me, no, they're not selling Spanish lessons. So I thought, oh, okay. Anyway. Okay. But it's right by the cathedral, so I thought they were very religious. But notice what's going on here, folks. This company, what are they going to give you if you give them dollars? I mean, if you give them dollars, what are they going to give you? 12.099 pesos. And if you want the dollars, you have to give them 13. I think that's supposed to be a 1. I didn't ask. And by the way, when I tried to take a picture, this woman started yelling and yelling, quit waving at me. I just smiled. Took a picture and ran. And then many of the businesses will take your dollars. They're not in the business of buying and selling pesos but and dollars. But this company, OXXO, which is their 7-Eleven, sure, we'll take your dollars and we'll give you 12.01 pesos for what your dollars are worth. So you see what's going on there? And this is what you have to be afraid of when you go into the OTC markets. If you're on the NASDAQ, the New York Stock Exchange, you know the spread is tiny for most all the stocks because there's lots of competition. But when you walk into the world, the red light district, the wrong side of town, the wrong side of the tracks, you are getting screwed via the bid and the ask price, the spread. Got it? Okay, good. Okay, good. That's good. Now, there's a presentation on there. So now what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to see a film, not that long, it's about 15 minutes or so, and it's a bit of history. So, yeah, I'm sorry? Well, the one group, not only were they at the one company, the one that's right on the Plaza of America as you're walking downtown, TJ, they are not only making money off the spread, the difference, they're not only dealers and market makers, they're also charging a commission of 2 or 3% or whatever it is, I didn't ask. And so they're acting as both. And that's not unusual in the financial world. But this is pretty, and you might not be getting screwed by your broker, by your brokerage firm. You probably aren't, because they also, some brokerage firms are so huge, they have their own market makers. So, hey, we just redirected it to him or her. But in this case, they were screwing you because everybody else is saying, no comisión. No, we're not charging you commission. These people are charging you commission. It's gone. Okay, now, nothing that we humans have ever created has been perfect, right? So are the capital markets perfect? Do things screw up? Oh, yeah. So what we're going to see is a film about the worst day in modern history for the markets, October 19th, 1987, Black Monday. And it's a bit of a, they try the best to take it and turn it into a melodrama. So I apologize for that part. But you're also going to see the interaction. When people are going like this, that means I'll buy. And they're yelling out a number. 27! That means I'll buy 100 shares at 27. 34! I'll sell 100 shares. If they say 2 at 34... I'll sell 200 shares at 34. Are you with me? And this is all gone. It's all gone. I mean, it's virtually all gone. There's still a little bit that they hang around, I think just for videos. But you're going to see this, and what happens when the system becomes completely overwhelmed, you're going to see the Dow go from plus 240 points down to minus 240 points. The system just can't keep up. You know, it just So we're going to see when things go wrong, and we're going to see, I'm going to be calling out things every once in a while.
And 30, 45 minutes long?
No, it's
like an hour.
No. This one.
I should have brought popcorn.
But no, this is only 15 minutes or so. It's about 15 minutes.
Can we watch it twice?
No, we can't watch it twice. Watch it once and stay awake. No, it's not on my website. It's copyrighted material. Because there were too many sauce, there were too many transactions. It's like a freeway getting clogged up.
This is a new environment where markets are greatly affected by sophisticated strategies in the hands of a few high-powered players. It is a market greatly influenced by the use of futures and options. What follows is the story of the two most incredible days in financial history and a guide to investing in this new market environment.
What happened? There's a young Alan Greenspan, younger. Between January and August, the market went up 40% and then started to gyrate. And by September, people were pretty nervous. There's the specialist. Look, they're writing it down. Okay, I'll sell. I'm selling.
Generally speaking, we don't want to see interest rates increase.
People are worried. They want more money for their money.
The opening bell in New York, the stage was set for the week-long drama to begin. And it began with a rush to set.
I'll accept. I'll take it. That's how it works. He's the specialist. He's trying to keep these people going. He's trying to keep them moving.
A normal day's trading had taken place in 1 hour. Country were beginning to hear about the sell-off. They listened to news reports, watched ticker tapes, they gathered to discuss rumors, and tried to get through to their brokers.
Well, yeah, the Dow was dropping. They listened to it on the news, and you know, then at noon it was like, oh, it's dropping, you know,
100
points.
I did not have the radio on, but I went out for lunch, and then the word started getting around about the market going south. A couple of my friends, at least one of them, sold a whole bunch of stock and took a terrible loss. I've heard two large traders initiated Black Monday and that they tried to unload about $4 billion worth of stock in the first half hour of trading, and that's Wells Fargo and Fidelity Investments.
By 2:20, more than 400 million shares had been traded. The New York Stock Exchange computers were falling behind due to the tremendous buy.
That's the feeling. Numb.
Bigger drop than the 1929 crash. And we've never had a day like that. I don't think very many people really understood what was happening.
By the end of the day on Monday the 19th, everybody was in a panic. And we all had a 50-50. We were looking and saying, what's going to happen tomorrow? And we weren't sure.
Same headlines as 2008.
We were afraid that the panic would continue. And if it had continued, and we saw the substantial decline the next day, and even close to the same rate as we saw on Monday, we were afraid that we would see an ultimate collapse in our markets.
And what happened was, as soon as you have a sell-off of that magnitude, in essence, everybody is flooding into cash, into the demand for cash. Securities people find themselves calling up inventories or stocks, and they need to buy those inventories from their customers for cash. So they're going to the bank, asking to borrow money on the basis of securities. And they contacted the banks, and the banks turned them down or stalled, which money banks never do to securities firms. Suddenly, this provided a shock to the entire industry. And as the day wore on, the worry was will the banks step in? And if they won't step in, this panic could become much, much more dangerous.
H.B. Shane has become the first brokerage in the country to fall victim to the crash of 1987. After the company voluntarily shut itself down, regulators moved in. And tonight, a federal judge in Kalamazoo officially put H.B. Shane into receivership as a complex bankruptcy proceeding began. Tonight, officials called a news conference to assure H.B. Shane's 4,500 customers that everything is under control.
I think the fundamentals look sound. We, of course, recognize some market nervousness. It's clear to me, however, that conditions do not warrant apocalypse now worries or scenarios. They've popped up now and again since this recovery began. I have said before that I thought they were unwarranted. I still think that they are unwarranted.
This business coming out of Washington, all the
fundamentals. H. Ross Perot, who remembers him?
Is not sound. Not having the national will to have a budget is not sound.
As brokers, traders, and exchange officials in the U.S. sorted through the wreckage and worked all night to repair the damage, as October the 19th faded into history, it was another black day for the rest of the world.
Go back up. I need to hear your voice.
Yeah, that's the scary part when you see. No. Within a day they opened up. But that's the scary part when you see those things just shut down. And what you're going to see is people just start walking. They start walking away. They say, this is ridiculous. They start walking away.
In chaos, with specialists unable or unwilling to open trade.
And there's no specialist. I'll sell you more. Here's where they try to make it dramatic. I'll sell it 501. No, hang on. Where's my? You'll see my cousin in there. Yeah, he's. Oh, he looks like me. Got a big black beard. He's panicking. He's selling whatever he can.
Did I give you two?
Yeah.
The White House doesn't have
no plans. I'm not going to get involved.
I'm not afraid to say that there is some point, and I don't know what that point is, that I would be quite anxious to talk to the New York Stock Exchange about a temporary, a very temporary halt in trading.
Hands on the brink. They're trying to.
Dangerous in 50 years, and this was the situation. The market had lost more than 30% of its value, $1 trillion in a week. Rumors of widespread bankruptcies in the financial industry were being reported. The Federal Reserve had promised to force cash into the system, but would it be enough or too little to do? And now the major exchanges were closing down.
See, people just walking away.
If the markets broke, this time, it would be a crash far beyond.
Yeah, well, there you go.
The eye of the hurricane that had engulfed the world's financial markets. An eerie silence fell on the trading floors in New York and Chicago. Which way would it go?
They're trying to make. They're trying to build the.
And then, an individual investor using a little-known stock index futures contract.
They're trying to build up the suspense.
Still open and trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, began buying. An individual investor was going for broke. Someone was stepping into the breach. In the next half hour, this stock index, designed to mirror the Dow, exploded upward equal to a 440-point rally on the big board. The MMI was staging the most powerful rally in its history, and probably the most significant in the last 50 years. The Dow began to respond. The Chicago Mercantile Exchange reopened at 1:15. The CBOE reopened, as did the Kansas City Board of Trade and the New York Futures Exchange. The Dow rallied up 125 points in the next 45 minutes. On the Merck, S&P 500 futures rallied, then fell back. The Dow followed, down 100 points again in an agonizing free fall. Then around 2 p.m., there was a series of announcements that major corporations were going to buy back their own stock. Major U.S. companies were supporting the market. The Dow again rallied up over 100 points and closed with the biggest one-day gain ever. But what a day it had been. And it was not over yet. After a very volatile week, the market fell 156 points the following Monday, and we were treated to this story.
The sounds of a distraught wife who just learned that her stockbroker husband, 39-year-old Lloyd Kolakoff, was shot, critically wounded, and taken to Baptist Hospital. But even more shocking, the office manager, 53-year-old Jose Alvarados, shot and killed. It happened before noon today at Merrill Lynch's The Bold Office. 51-year-old Arthur Payne, a regular customer who had lost heavily in the market during last week's plunge, met with the two men. Witnesses say the office door was closed and the meeting quiet. Suddenly, Payne pulled out a .357 Magnum and began shooting the men. He then committed suicide. Employees leaving the building were visibly shaken.
And so in that situation, if anybody is like, who's that person that's making the most money? Somebody has to be making money in that kind of situation.
Well, some people do, obviously. If they are what's called shorting the market, if they're betting that the market goes down, they're making money. But it's dangerous. Shorting the market is very dangerous, and we'll discuss that in detail. We'll take one slide. Oops, excuse me. Did I give you some? Oh, yeah, if they were shorting. But the problem is, you know, it's a lot harder than it sounds. Oh, the market's going down, short. It's like saying, the market's going up, buy.
So some people were happy that happened to them.
Yeah, I guess so. But no, I think most, I mean, I was alive during there. A couple other people might have been alive during there. It was a very, very scary day.
Did you cry instead too late?
No, I didn't, because I wasn't hardly. All right, relax. Doesn't matter. You can have more. I wasn't heavily involved. I was still too frightened. But we had a friend. My wife and I went to a friend's house. I'll never forget that one night. We went to a friend's house, and she had been buying heavily, and she sold that day. And I said, Frenobulax, whatever her name is. I can't tell you her real name. I said, George. Your name is not George. You didn't sell today, did you? She goes, yeah, I sold today. Oh, geez, this is the worst day to sell. She, how do you know it could go down again tomorrow? Yeah, it could. Could go up. It could go up. Could go down. But still, she didn't do right. I wasn't that much yet involved. I was still putting money into my 403B, and we didn't even have the option of mutual funds yet. So I saw the light a few years later. I was also working for a brokerage firm at the time. I was still too frightened. Yeah, well, actually, it depends on how you look at it. If you look at 1987 as a whole, it was actually an up year because it went in January to August up 40%, and then then it went down. I forget 35%, but then came back up again in November, December. So it actually wound up like 5% up, but the volatility is real. Okay, so. Questions, thoughts? What do you think?
Crazy.
It was.
Crazy.
And now it's all gone. All that screaming and hollering except for today. We're going to do it. But first, what? Yes, you can fight. Yeah. Okay. Did you hear him say at the end, companies were supporting the market?
Yeah.
No.
They said they were buying the shares.
Yes. Hey, Fred, are we going bankrupt?
No, JR. You know, we got plenty of cash. People are buying our products. We're not going bankrupt.
Look what happened to our stock price.
Yeah, I know.
Fred, I want you to go out there and buy 100,000 shares.
No problem. No problem, JR.
You understand? The price gets too high, what's going to happen? People are going to sell. Price gets too high. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Everyone say. Sell, right? They're going to sell. Price gets too low? People are going to buy. They're going to go, wow, look at that deal. You know, that's how the markets work. So let's quickly go back to the presentation, wherever that might be, and go back to 34. Okay, because what we're going to do now, oh, by the way, we didn't take a look at bull markets versus bear markets. Real quickly, a bull market is, right, prices are going up, bulls charge ahead, bear markets down, bears are reclusive, when they attack, they knock their opponents down. But actually, it's a little bit more subtle than that, and I don't understand how, but you can look it up if you want. The saying actually comes from a saying called, don't sell the bear skin before the bear is caught. I don't know how that works, but you go ahead and look that up. Now, we are going to be brokers. You're all brokers. Let's read. Let's turn on the light, too. Hold on. Following the ups and downs of the stock market is bewildering. Why did the market go up today? I know. I apologize. Complain about the lighting. Go to your elected representative on the governing board and say this lighting sucks. Remember, everything in this college is low bid. That's why I would never want to be an astronaut in the space shuttle, because you're sitting up there looking at the sky on the top of two solid metal rockets saying, everything on this thing is low bid. Okay. Following the ups and downs of the stock market is bewildering. Why did the market go up today? Why did it go down? Here's what's going to happen. The financial media will invariably offer some plausible reason for the price movement. Stocks rose today on the anticipation of good earnings reports. Worries from the continuing Eurozone problems drove down stock prices. And then you're going to hear fellow investors parroting the phrases to one another. But they're simply guesses. Did the financial journalists ask each and every one of the hundreds of thousands of investors around the world why they sold or why they bought? No, they can't do that. That's impossible. The only reason you can absolutely be sure for why the market of why, of for why, that doesn't look right, sure, why the market went up was because there were more buyers than sellers. If the market went up, more buyers than sellers. The market went down, more sellers than buyers. The stock market as a whole simply reflects the aggregate price movements of the individual stocks that constitute the market. The price of each and every stock is governed by what price the sellers are willing to accept for the stock, the ask price, and by what price that buyers are willing to pay for the stock, the bid price. It is supply and demand in its purest, simplest form. Our market simulation will give you the flavor of that supply and demand. We will simulate the floor of one of the stock exchanges. Each of you is a broker that trades the shares of Take the Money and Run. TMR? Take the Money and Run. Okay. You have a list of transactions that have been forwarded to from your office. You see all those pieces of paper on the ground? You say, what the hell is going on? Those are orders that the runners have brought in to the traders. And then once the trade is executed, the trader just throws it on the ground. You know, people think, how are they ever going to work it now? They're worthless pieces of paper now. Yeah, I gave you a lot of shares. Okay. Your job is to get the best price for your firm's clients. You understand? If you're buying, you want to get the lowest price. If you're selling, you want to get the highest price. That's your job. You with me? Okay. Now, here are the types of transactions. There are actually four that we want to take a look at. But the most important ones, in my humble opinion, are the market price, and the market order is the most important, actually. That's the one that's the vast majority are market orders. Whatever the price is, whatever the price you can get me, broker, whatever price you can get me, you go get me that price. The limit order is saying, only if I can get this price will I buy. So the price is currently $25. I will only accept 20 or 15 or whatever. Or if I'm selling, I'll only accept 28 or 27. 30. Okay. Now, once you get into stop and stop limit, it gets a little more subtle. At a stop loss or just a stop order, what you're saying is once it hits that point that I've set, then it becomes a market order. And that's why the woman was saying, you know, the traders were trying to execute the transactions, but the person had to stop at $20 and it's now selling at $8. What do I do? Well, technically, if you set up a stop loss, or just call it a stop order, as soon as it goes down to 20, you have to sell it for them. You see why it's called a stop loss?
So it would be better for you to be on the limit order?
Yeah, but the limit order, you might not, never, you might not get it. It might touch that limit, and you go in there to try to buy or sell, and it goes back up or back down, depending.
That's the risk.
Yeah, that's the risk. You might not execute. The stop loss order is going to execute. As soon as it hits, boom, it becomes a market order. The stop limit is the same, but instead of, it's a stop order, but it becomes a limit order. I don't know that it's that big a deal. But I want you to remember at least these three. Market order, limit order, stop loss. And although you can use limit orders to buy or sell the price you want, remember that they trigger automatically. So it's all computerized now. You put in a stop loss, and you say, okay, it's selling for 25, but if it ever goes down to 20, I want it to sell. I want to stop my loss. If it goes down to 15, oh well, you have to sell at that price. Are you with me? You see what's happening? And traders tell me that they always use stop loss orders. You know, they say, okay, I think this stock is going to go from 20 to 30, so I'll put a stop at 18, and if it goes down by 18, I'll get out. But if it goes up, I'm gone. But that's ridiculous, because stocks go up and down all the time, but that's me. Everybody's different. Okay, so now, are you ready? Now, I'm going to be the tick. I'm going to be the tick. What's the tick? Which way it's going? Which way is the market going? Not the blood-sucking interest. Not the blood-sucking insect tick, but I'm going to be recording the. It's called the tick. It comes from the fact that prices used to come out on a ticker tape machine, and it would print out the prices. And so, what's going to happen when we ring the bell? Ding 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 ding. All you sellers are going to call out prices: 27, 28, 26. To you buyers who are going to call out prices, 23, 24, and then you got to work it out. Are you ready?
No
halves, no halves, no halves. Just dollars. Make it easy on yourself. You ready? You ready to be brokers? And you got to get in there and fight. Did you see those people? You saw them, right? Didn't you see them? Do you want to see another one? Do you want to see another group of traders on the video? What? You see me do it. I can't do it with yourself. Well, it's this. If you want to buy, it's this. If you want to... You're selling. This is the group of sellers. This is the group of buyers. You guys ready? Then you right exactly. For example, listen. Escuchan. If she's got an order to sell at 29, she can say she's got a stop order right here that says sell at 29. The opening price is going to be 25. By the way, that's the opening price. The opening. Well, you can say the opening price is 25, but Yosana's going to say, I'll sell 100 at 29. I'll sell 200 at 27. So she's going to be going like this, 27, 2, 27, 200. She has a 27. And then Scott's going to be over here, and he has a market order to buy 100 shares, and he has a market order to sell 100 shares. So he's going to yell out, I'll buy at 24. And if he doesn't hear anybody take him on, then he's going to go, okay, I'll buy a 25, buy a 26, buy a 27, 27, she's got a price there at 27. Or maybe she might come down. See what's going on? Just think of yourself in a big swap meet, and you're trying to get the best price you can. I'm sorry? Yeah, well, orders are always coming in. As it goes on, I'm going to be the runner, too. I'm going to be giving more orders. Okay, you guys ready? You guys ready? Okay, ding, 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 ding. Come on, how are you buying? What are you going to buy?
35.
Then get closer. I'm just saying for 29. Come on, you market folks. If you got a market order, you got to sell. How much? 24. Okay, which one? Stop, stop, stop. We got one. What happened? 500 for 27, so the price has gone up. The uptick. 22. 27 is the next, the open next price. 27, keep going, keep going, keep going. Come on, you folks with a market order, you gotta get in there. You got a market order, you gotta buy. Come on, you gotta buy. 25! 25! Okay, what do we get? 100 for 27. We got a bid. If an ask price here at 27. 2 for 28. Okay.
227.
How much?
227.
Uh-oh, price went down. Price went down. 300. 325. Uh-oh, 329. Uh-oh, sounds weird. What's going on? Okay, come on, buyers. You guys got to get in on it. You buyers, you got to get in on it. Okay, come on, buyers. How much?
200 for
27. 200 for 27. Come on, buyers. You're not getting in. Come on, Adam. Keep going. You got to call. Come on, sellers. What will you sell it for? Sell it. You got to sell. You got to sell. You guys are fired. Out the door.
Twenty-seven.
24. 2 for 25. Get somebody else. Get somebody else.
2 for 25.
We're down to 25. Down tick.
223.
What's on? There's no buyers. Come on, buyers. Come on, you got to yell out your prices. Yell out your prices. Come on, Adam, get in with the price. Yell out your prices. We're down to 24. Come on, all you buyers, 24. Come on, buyers, get in there. 25, come on, buyers. Selma, get in there.
4 for 28.
No, the last price is 24. Come on, as soon as it hits 20, as soon as it hits 24. It hit 24, yes, you gotta buy 200 shares. 4 for 25, back up, we're back up. As soon as it hits that price, you have to get in there. You got one order? Yes, buy 400 more. What? There's something fishy going on back there.
3 for 26.
Okay, got it. Some fishy. The Securities Exchange Commission has started an investigation into. Do you see how there could be some hanky panky going on? Whoa, whoa, whoa! Stop, stop, stop! The current 225. That makes more sense. The current price is 25.26. All of a sudden, you see a 29. Yeah. What could be happening? Hanky panky. She bought it for 29. She might be giving a kickback. Yeah. Or, you know, he might be giving the kickback to her because he's the one who got the proceeds. Okay. What do you think? He's doing good. He's a broker. You did pretty well. What's wrong?
I have no idea what he was doing.
Yeah, because you got to get it. Now do you understand why the people are jostling and yelling and screaming? They're trying to get the best price for their customers. That's good. Oh, no, don't worry about it. I'm just marketing. In fact, I rigged the game. I put in more buy orders than there were sell orders. So the price should have gone up, and it started to go up. But then, all of a sudden, there's all these stop orders for folks to start selling when it hits 27, 28, 29. So we should have seen, and we did. We did see there a wave of selling, but the price didn't go down because you buyers are just sitting there going, you got to get in there. You got to get in there and scream and holler. Then the price should have gone down, and it did. It did start to go down, but then there was some hanky-panky. Okay. But it's all going away. It's all going away. Are they screaming and yelling and hollering at one another? No. They're sitting. What? No. The jobs are just different. Instead of in the pit yelling and screaming and hollering and making all those funny noises and hand signals, they're sitting in front of a computer. You know, they still got orders coming in. They're coming in electronically. And they're trying to say, okay, let's get the best price here. But they're in front of a computer now. The jobs aren't gone. It's the same. I think I keep thinking of teaching online. The teaching jobs aren't going away. They're just changing. And now the cool thing, as far as I'm concerned, is I could be sitting in the beach in Puerto Vallarta teaching. And that's exactly what I do in the summer. I teach usually in the summer. I teach an online class. Not always, but sometimes I teach an online class. But hell, I'm still going to travel down to Mexico. So last summer, I was traveling through Mazatlan and then Puerto Vallarta, and I was turning in my grades as I was doing the last, you know, it was the last week of the summer semester.
Do you get paid the same?
I hope so. We have some teachers who are in Oregon. They moved from here because they couldn't afford to live here anymore, and they moved up to Bend, Oregon, which is supposed to, I've never been, but it's supposed to be really beautiful. And she still teaches up there. Another one's in Ashland, Oregon. She still teaches. And you could, as a teacher now, you can get a job anywhere around the world. I'm on this feed. I never look at it, but I'm on this feed for colleges and universities and other schools that are looking for online professors. And they don't care where you are because it's all online. You never see your students. I don't like it personally. Personally, I don't really don't like it. I love teaching in face to face. I like being in front of the classroom. I like the interaction. I never remember the names of my students online. I remember many of your names. A lot of them I'll forget. I apologize. But anyway, so what do you think? What do you think? Cool?
Good.
Cool? Weird. Yeah, it's weird. You want to see another? Now, here's another one. Someone turn the lights off for me, please. Here's another interview. This is another example. But again, this is old, folks. And this is a... this is a movie that maybe we'll take a look at later on in the semester, if we have time. Okay, hang on a minute. This is... you can pass them up. I'll come and get them after class. This is a movie that was made about a company called Long Term Capital Management. In the 1990s, they were the company that they had figured out how to beat the market in the short term. Turned out it was totally bogus. They weren't frauds, but they screwed up royally. But first they discuss being a trader. And here's...
People come in with a good, fresh attitude, but they just can't survive. They just can't handle the competition. It's not for the year. It's not for the week. If you can't handle it, you can't beat it. And it's simple. Otherwise, people just take your money and they don't feel that. Every day when I walk in...
It's crazy. I communicate by going by 20%, saying 20. Constant chaos. The market's always moving. Yelling, screaming, grabbing, whatever it takes. Get people's attention. Make the market constantly going, where am I? Where am I? Where am I? Meaning, what is my position? Give me an exact total. Give me an exact figure. What do I have to do to get out of this issue?
The products that are traded in the financial exchange
Okay, stop him, Okay, so cool? All right, let's continue. What's wrong? Want to see that? It's called the $1 trillion bet. And it's like the Hobbit to the Lord of the Rings. Anybody ever read those books? Okay, read the Hobbit first. I know, we talk the movies. But don't even go to the movies. I mean, the movies are great, don't get me wrong. But read, I know, the book. They can't do it justice. The Hobbit is this tiny little story that's neatly put together, and that was long-term capital management in the 1990s. In the 2000s, The Lord of the Rings is the huge asset bubble known as the housing bubble, and then all the derivatives and the credit default swaps and all the bonds that were based on the... Oh, what a mess. And it reads just like a prequel. This is just like a prequel to that. Okay, and then the next slide is the description of the transactions from your book's point of view. I want you to understand market order, limit order, stop order. The difference between a stop, limit, and a stop order is very subtle. What happens? Market order, buy at the best price. I don't care what the price is, you buy or sell now. Do it. Limit order says, hey, I will not spend more than this much, or when I sell, I will not, sell for less than this. A stop order, when it hits a trigger, when it hits that price point, it becomes a market order. And the stop limit, when it hits a price point, it becomes a limit order. So the difference between these two are very subtle. And the stop order is often called a stop loss because people use it to stop their loss. They bought the stock at $10, it's up to $25, and they set a stop order at $20. So if it ever drops below $20, they automatically sell. And people use it for trading. As I said, short-term traders tell me that they prefer the stop orders for their trading. And all I can say to them is good luck. And where is my little thing? I can't.
It's on the board.
It's on the board. Oh, there it is. Oh, thank you. Okay. Now, here's the one slide that will discuss buying on margin and selling short. And if you read through chapter 2, they're going to discuss this in detail. Folks, this is all I want you to know. All you have to know is when you buy on margin, you are borrowing money to magnify your gain, to enhance your return. So you would normally have to pay $100 for this one share of stock. But you don't got $100, you only got 50. So you go to your broker and say, hey, I got 50 bucks, will you lend me 50? And the broker says, sure, they'll charge you interest. So you get to buy the $100 share for only $50. Well, not really. You bought it for $50, but you owe $50 of that. And what it does is it enhances your return, but it also enhances any loss that you have. Selling short, as we've already made mention, is trying to make money when the market goes down. Huh? Well, it works exactly the way you think it would work, but in reverse. You know, we always say buy low, sell high. But it doesn't matter which order you do them in. You can buy high and then sell low. How do you do that? Sell high. I did it wrong, didn't I? Buy low, sell high. Sell high, buy low. Just move them. And so you sell shares you don't own. Doesn't that sound illegal? No, you're borrowing them. You're borrowing them. And if you don't understand it, don't worry about it. Just make sure you understand or can parrot back what's on these slides. Think about it. If you have two neighbors, one's Fred and one's Chuck, Charles, right? And you know Fred just bought this $500 riding lawnmower at Sears. And you know tomorrow, he hasn't even used it yet. Tomorrow, it's going to go on sale for $250. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. You go to Fred and say, hey, Fred, can I borrow your riding lawnmower? He goes, all right. And then you ride it over to Chuck. And you say, Chuck, you're going to buy one of these, weren't you? Yeah. How much are they? $500? No, okay. I'll buy it from you, $500. The next day, it goes on sale. You buy it back for $250 and then bring it back to Fred. And he goes, oh, it's a different color. You understand what's going on?
Yeah.
Do you think it's a risky proposition?
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Because what happens if the price goes up?
Oh, yeah.
Now you have to buy it back at a higher price. That's all you have to know. When we get to the end of the semester, we will learn how these mechanisms work in detail. Because these are the two, along with options, these are the two hardest things on the Series 7, arithmetically. The margining and selling short, and then the options. Traditionally, transaction costs, how are we doing for time? Not bad. We're in the 1 to 5% range, sometimes higher. The largest percentage of the cost used to be the brokerage's commission. But deep discount internet brokers have driven the commissions down to $5 a trade, $7 a trade. A few firms used to offer free trades. Huh? No commission. Right. No commission. But have transaction costs really gone down? Yes, they have. Transaction costs have gone down, but a bigger percentage of it, more and more of it, is being hidden from the investor. And I didn't use these terms, this internet garbage broker. A client did. So I don't want to deal with those internet. It wasn't my client, but it was somebody at the brokerage firm I worked at. I don't want to deal with those internet garbage brokers. And I said, I didn't understand why he said that, because I just thought they were cheap. You know, you don't talk to a broker, it's all online. But when I asked my supervisor, I said, well, how do they make money on $7 a trade? And he looked at me like, oh, you rube, you imbecile. You know, they're getting a kickback. I said, what? Okay. And then I figured it out later on. An example, a deep discount internet broker, which shall remain nameless, Scott Trade, offers trades for $7 a trade. They all do this, but I'm just going to use Scott Trade in the next slide. In the fine print of the client broker agreement is included a provision for allowing the broker to solely utilize exclusive stock dealers, certain stock market makers. So they go to one place down in San Ysidro to buy and sell pesos. They don't shop around. You see what's going on? They go to one company that they always go to, an exclusive market maker, exclusive dealer. The quoted price is simply the best price available, but at any one time, there are dozens and dozens of prices quoted as dealers and market makers are competing for buy and sell orders. As you're screaming and hollering out, well, that's all computerized. The chosen dealer doesn't necessarily have the best price. So, for example, you think you're paying $20, right? Because you see the price at $20, but you're seeing it 15 minutes in past unless you have the updated version or you go to your broker's office. The investor might actually pay $20.05, just like the place that you go to in San Ysidro and Tijuana, and may not have the best price for buying and selling pesos. The investor sees the $7 commission on their confirmation, but the investor does not see the extra $5 that they paid on a 100-share transaction because it was 5 cents a share more. Are you with me? So you think you paid $7, but you actually paid $12. Yeah, now, take a look at this. The following disclaimer is included in each trade confirmation email from Scottrade. Now, I don't know, I haven't checked in a couple years, but I assume it's still in there. I should ask. Scottrade Incorporated receives remuneration for directing orders to particular broker dealers or market centers for execution. Such remuneration is considered compensation to the firm and the source and the amount of any compensation received by the firm in connection with your transaction will be disclosed upon request.
Amen.
Amen. Give us singing. Doesn't it sound it's like Greek or Latin or something, you know, plain song? What are they saying? First of all, they put it all in uppercase, which makes it look like it's important, but they know that people don't read uppercase because it's harder to read. And that's why we use upper and lower case. It makes it easier to read. You put it all in uppercase, it makes it harder to read. What does remuneration mean? No idea. That's what a lot of people think. It means they're getting paid. Wouldn't it look worse if they said they got a kickback? You see? So out of that $5... extra that you paid, Scottrade might get a dollar out of that or a couple bucks out of it. You see what's going on? That's why that $29 trade back there, what's going on? Everybody else is doing 25, 26, 24, 25, and then $29. But this kind of thing happens all the time on the OTC, on the bulletin boards, on the pink sheets, which are now called the OTC markets. But it doesn't look that big. It doesn't look that big. Because you might have a penny stock that you think is selling for 7 cents, right? Well, that's the ask price. That's what you have to pay. But if you go back and try to sell it to them, they'll give you 3 cents. So the spread is only 4 cents, isn't it? But 4 cents as a percentage of 7%, 7 cents, is more than 50% of the price. This is the kind of hanky-panky that goes on the bulletin boards and on the pink sheets. If you have a stock that's selling for $50, a 4 cent spread is not that big a deal, is it? It makes sense. That's how they make their money, folks. If you want to find it somewhere else, go find it somewhere else. But that's what I'm selling it for. Are you with me? Understand? Now, in Scott Trade's defense, you don't have to understand. You can go like this. In Scott Trade's defense, folks, at least they prominently disclose this relationship. Many other companies simply hide it in their customer agreement fine print, and the customers are never made aware of the relationship, other than when they find out through the media or one of their friends tells them or whatever, however they figure it out. And then they go back and they say, well, you never told me this. It's in the customer, the broker-client agreement. Didn't you read it? All 27 pages? You clicked that you read it. You understand? They're not alone, right? In everything. Oh, yeah, I read everything. The Securities Exchange Commission says that your broker has a duty to seek the best execution that is reasonably available for its customers' orders. That's what your job was, to get the best price you could. You were the brokers. But it's not a guarantee. The Securities Exchange Commission, it's not the five-minute warning yet. The Securities Exchange Commission requires broker-dealers to notify their customers if their orders are not routed for best execution. Typically, this disclosure is on the trade confirmation slip you receive after placing your order. And determining whether or not a customer got best execution can be very difficult. Here's an example for you law fans, you legal beagles. Here's an example of the SEC trying to enforce the rules and not doing a very good job of it. The Securities Exchange Commission was looking into making the cost more transparent, possibly showing the customer the difference between a dealer's price and the best price available at the time of the transaction, maybe even gasp, showing the total cost of the transaction from the markup, markdown. Just don't show me I paid $7. Show me how much more I paid from the markup if when I'm buying and the markdown when I'm selling. Needless to say, the deep discount brokers cried that it would drive up the cost of commissions and ultimately hurt the consumer, and the proposal died. So it is up to you to check if you're getting the best execution. But how can you, a lone investor, determine if you're getting the best price if even the Securities and Exchange Commission has trouble watching over the brokerage companies? And the answer is you can't. You have to trust your broker. Now, if you're going to go with one of the deep discount brokers, I recommend, and this is a competitor, so you've got to know them. I like Schwab, because I called them up and said, do you do this? And they said, no, we don't. It took me a couple times to get somebody who knew what I was talking about. No, we don't. I went through their entire client customer agreement. I couldn't find it, client brokerage agreement. But another one that doesn't seem to do it is the cheap people, is ShareBuilder. But they've got some other weird, funky thing going on. ShareBuilder's got another, they've got some other strange things. I couldn't understand it, and I tried to get on the phone, I couldn't. But all the E-Trash and the Ameritrash and Snottrade, now, how could a company make money on $0 trades? Well, it's not illegal. Remember, it's not illegal. They have to make you aware of it. Zecco was one of them. There was another one that was, what they were doing is they were saying, okay, we're not going to charge you any commission, but the entire amount that we make is going to be on the kickback that we get from the market makers that we deal with. And they couldn't do it. Both companies eventually gave up. And now Zecco charges, I think, $5 a trade. Okay, round lot. How are we doing for time? We're doing for time. Okay, we want to get to these last two. Round lot and odd lot.
Are we still
going to
cover them next week?
Which ones?
Round lot stuff?
Well, we'll come back to it. But give me three more minutes. Okay. As you saw, technology has replaced these people screaming and hollering, right? But when they were all screaming and hollering, they wanted to say the very least amount of information that they needed to get the point across. the other guy. He said, you know, I'll sell you 20. He said, okay, 20. I'll sell you 20. I'll buy 20. And so what that meant is I'll sell you 100 shares at $20 a share. And that's why they wanted everybody to trade in round lots, in all multiples of 100 shares. So if he said 2 at 20, that meant I will sell you 200 shares at $20 a share. Or 2 at 20, I'll buy 200 shares at $20 a share. Now, if you had an odd lot, that was not a multiple of 20. So you said 27 shares. Sell, 27 shares at $20 a share. So 27 shares at 20. So it took more time. And so what they did is they created what's called the odd lot differential. They charged you more if you were buying and gave you less if you were selling for the transaction if it were less than 100 shares. But technology has, you know, destroyed that. So the odd lot differential might be a penny, folks. It's nothing to worry about. Some people still might say, oh, you want to buy at least 100 shares. Don't worry about it. It might be a couple bucks at the most. Probably be a few cents at the most. And then the last slide. Okay, we will start on Tuesday. But that shouldn't mean that you shouldn't play. Because on the website, I'm going to give out the assignment. Because the assignment is to, here you go. The assignment is to get some, oh, good book. Very good book, Aristotle. Very good book. We'll talk about that later on. The assignment is to do some research. Find some information about these stocks. There is a presentation on the website for the online students, how to use Yahoo to look up the data that I'm going to ask you to do. So bring these on Tuesday. We'll discuss them. Thank you all very much. Those of you who came in late, come see me. Study hard. Bring honor and glory to Southwestern Community College. Okay, Victor, right?